Title of this talk is It's for Everyone. It's for Everyone. So in the Old Testament times, just a little bit of an introduction, I don't normally do this, but in Old Testament times, there was a very small proportion of the earth's population that was chosen by God. And he called that people Israel. And to this people Israel, this tiny nation, he gave them the law, the old law, through Moses. And that then gave these people the ability to judge according to God's judgment. They had this ability to judge righteously. And this provided this small group of people clarity, okay? Because people like a bit of clarity, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? And so the Lord chose these very special people, Israel, to give them this clarity. And that was a light. You know, that's a type of light to them. It was a light to their feet. So as they find a way to govern their nation and run their nation, they had this law that was passed down, as it says in the scriptures, by angels. It was given by angels to them, you know, and it was from God. It was his word. And so that's why, like, the law is a very precious thing. We also know that it was also through the flesh, you know, the people, through the works of their flesh, they had to try to follow the law, and that's how it was imperfect. But today, it's through the Spirit, we have the Spirit, and that old ordinances have been done away with through Jesus Christ. But in Old Testament times, these are the points I want to make, is it was a very small, select people out of the whole globe of people. Population of the world. And so the title is talking, It's for Everyone. You know, it's different now. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. It was an amazing thing, the law. And look, you can read and glean from the Old Testament as well, like the Lord set up this nation of Israel so that strangers could come as well. It was actually open to anybody who wanted to come and dwell with them. But it was very difficult. You know, because there was not that spirit aspect, and also there was that reliance upon the flesh. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. And it says here, very famous verses of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I'll forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. So this is way back in the time of Jeremiah, which was about 600 BC. He's prophesying about this time. Look, he was so annoyed with his chosen people. He so wanted to bless his chosen people, but they broke his law. And he called the nation of Israel his wife. You know, there was that very deep connection that he had with his chosen people. He called them his wife. And it says here he was a husband to them, and yet they broke the law. They refused his ways. And then Jeremiah's the prophet near that time of destruction and the ending of that nation of Judah. But he's prophesying of this new time, this new moment, when there'll be a new covenant, a new promise, a new contract, so to speak. We all know about contracts. And so he put that in place where they'll no longer need to read and understand all the writings of the law, because he'll put it in our hearts. And we know that as spirit-filled people, but that we get this weird clarity of what's right and wrong, you know, and that's a great thing. but also makes that clarity of when we do wrong. It stands out more. And so we've got to remind ourselves, no, we are righteous before the Lord. We do make mistakes. But that Spirit is in us now. And that's what teaches us all things, teaches us what's right and wrong. And I know from my own testimony, those years that I had the Spirit before coming to the Revival Fellowship, I knew I was grieving the Spirit. It was only a couple of weeks after coming to the Revival Fellowship, I read that scripture in Ephesians, and it says, grieve not the Spirit. And I thought, that's what it was all those 7 years. I was grieving the Spirit. It was here in my heart. It was teaching me God's ways, and I wasn't doing them, so I was grieving the Spirit. There was that judgment, that clarity that was there, that was part of this, this future prophecy at the time of Jeremiah. Over to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, another great prophecy, and Isaiah was even before Jeremiah, many years beforehand. So these are prophecies the Lord put in place that came true. So Isaiah 28, and start in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? You know, like there's this chosen nation of Israel that's rejected God's covenant. Well, who? Who shall God teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? These are the people, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. That refreshing, you know, we're talking about that latter rain. That's refreshing when you get rain in a dry place. You know, rain's a good thing. And it says here this, and that, I love that question, like who are receptive to learning about the knowledge of God? Who are receptive to understand his doctrine? It's those that are childlike. You know, they are the ones God can lift up and give them wisdom. And it says, I like how it says in verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, you know, line upon line. It must be that way. You must start at the base level and let God build it up. And we see that so often as we follow God's ways and we see people come to the fold, you know, come part of the flock, that if they take their time and learn slowly, line upon line, that's the way it must be. And but it starts to those that have that that childlike attitude toward God's ways and wanting to learn and grow how he wants us to learn and grow. And then it says the avenue through that in verse 11 is with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, right? And that's how he speaks to his people. He teaches them doctrine. He teaches them knowledge, puts that in our hearts. That's how he teaches us. When we pray in the Spirit, we build up in these things and we read the scriptures, you know, and we understand spiritual things. It's with stammering lips and another tongue, he'll speak to us and we can grow. And then we have this amazing thing. We have this peace and this rest. We're no longer weary. We're no longer struggling to understand because God's helping us out. We know we're learning bit by bit, bit by bit. We're learning and we know that and we're growing and understanding God's ways. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, again, famous scriptures that we all should remember. Joel chapter 2, and I'll read the New Testament version of this too. Joel, the book of Joel is after Hosea, before Amos. Yeah, Hosea's a fairly, so it goes Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Joel chapter 2 and down in verse 26. Joel chapter 2 and verse 26. And he shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Of course, Mount Zion and Jerusalem is the same thing, but that's a spiritual thing. It's not literally the city of Jerusalem. He's talking about those that come to follow God's ways, because Mount Zion is likened as the spiritual one, and Mount Sinai, where the law came out, that's likened to the carnal path. And so these people in the last days, it shall come to pass after all that, he'll pour out my spirit, and there'll be a great energy amongst the people. You know, sons and daughters shall prophesy. They'll see wonderful things in the future. Old men shall dream dreams. Old men will have this energy in them. Old people will have this energy in them. Wow, this is awesome. We can see wonderful things for the future through the Spirit. The young men will be all caught up in it. The young people will be caught up in it as well. This great plan of God. And it's all because the Lord poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And then a couple of verses before, it says it twice there, that his chosen people will never be ashamed. You know, because of this great knowledge that we learn through the Spirit, we'll never be ashamed. We've got that rock that we stand on, as Natalie was referring to in her own family. She's got that rock. You know, we'll never be ashamed because he answers prayer and he's there always. And it's all as a result of him pouring out. I love it how it's described there, pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. It's for everyone. You know, it even clarifies there, it's even for the servants and upon the handmaids. You know, those lowest people in society, it's all for them. It's all available for them to be caught up in this great plan that God has, to be caught up in this and start seeing these visions and dreaming dreams and seeing that, yeah, what an amazing God it is. Wow, I've got the Spirit in me. I'm learning so much. And remember when you first came, got baptized and received the Spirit, opened up the Scriptures, you're talking to people, asking questions, you learned so much. It was phenomenal. You really were like this babe and your brain was a sponge and you're just absorbing it all and realizing, wow, what an amazing kingdom the kingdom of God is. And you look into the future of bright things. Wow, I want to tell people about this. I want to share to others what's happened in my life, knowing it can happen in their life also. You dream these dreams and you see these great visions. We're a forward-looking people. And it's just wonderful. We look at the past when we count our blessings and see what God does, but we look into the future to see what God will do, knowing he can do amazing things. And so we keep our eyes on the future, and it's available for everyone. No matter how little you seem to be, you are a human being. You are worthy to be a part of the kingdom of God. As Marley said, it's worth it. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, a couple of verses in Isaiah. First one here in chapter 11. And start in verse 9. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9. Yeah, that's it. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So here's another verse here that refers to the rest that the Lord wants to give to his people. And of course it starts in verse 9 about knowledge of the Lord going around the world to all peoples. It's not just restricted to this nation of Israel. It's to all people on the earth. And this root of Jesse is referring to Jesus Christ, and he's an ensign. You know, what's an ensign? It's like a flag. And in times of battle, the people in the army would follow those with the flag. So this root of Jesse, Jesus Christ, will be standing there for an ensign. He'll be a guide, okay? And to it shall the Gentiles seek. Not only will this small population of the earth called Israel be drawn to Jesus Christ, but everyone else, you know, all the Gentiles, you know, that's everyone other than an Israelite. And how many more people is that? They'll be drawn to this ensign because he's a leader, you know. He knows where to go. And so we were drawn in the same way. Spiritually speaking, we were Gentiles. We were not God's chosen people. We didn't have the Spirit. And so we were Gentiles and we were drawn to this ensign where we can follow this person called Jesus Christ who will lead us through the wilderness and seek. And then our rest shall be glorious. It'll be a glorious thing, the rest that we have, knowing that we're following the right path. We don't have to worry about another path. Over to chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Great prophecy again here of Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse 6, I will hold thine hand and keep thee. So this is God referring to his son Jesus. He himself will hold Jesus' hand as he goes about preaching about the kingdom of God, and that he will be a light of the Gentiles. There's that reference again to that ensign that people will follow. And this judgment, that clarity that that people will have as they follow Jesus' path, or God's path, and as well, it's the same thing, following that, understanding what's right and wrong, and you get that peace from God that passes all understanding because you know what's right and wrong. And it says there in verse 3, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. You know, we want to know what's right. We want to know what's true. And what's important here as well is, and Jesus repeats it in Acts chapter 1, is that he says there in verse 2, he shall not cry or lift up or cause his voice to be heard in the street. He's not there to lead an army, you know, an army of human beings with swords and shields and all those things, but he was there to preach about the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God. It's a spiritual battle, and it's all true. It's how Jesus, he had no form nor comeliness. He could lose himself in a crowd. He did that when they tried to grab him. So he could lose himself, blend in with everyone else. He didn't stand out like Saul, King Saul did, head and shoulders above everyone else. But it says there also what's wonderful in verse 4, it says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And so that's the wonderful thing. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he knew it was finished. He wasn't discouraged along the way. He had his low times. You know, he wanted that cup of suffering to be taken from him. But he said, "Not my will, but thine." And so there was the Lord there encouraging him. And he didn't fail or be discouraged. And praise the Lord for that. Because we wouldn't be here spirit-filled if he decided to give up. You know, he went there until it was finished. We are so grateful for that, and so is everyone on the earth, spirit-filled, who are not part of God's chosen nation of Israel in Old Testament times. These Gentiles were all part of the kingdom of God. Over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is very early on in Jesus' ministry. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 16. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And he could have said that about so many other scriptures, those that we've read now. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." That the Spirit of the Lord was upon a person called Jesus Christ that was anointed by God to preach the gospel to the poor, you know, to everyone, those that are poor in spirit, that are contrite in heart, that have this childlike attitude. Those are the people that he can heal, deliver, recover, set at liberty, you know, build up. And it was all this Jesus Christ that we have grown to know over the years of being filled with the Holy Spirit. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You know, the bringing together of so many of those prophecies in the Old Testament. And there, a few years ago, I counted how many times it appeared in the four Gospels. It's so often, I can't remember the number, but it's so often that Jesus said, "This has happened that the scriptures may be fulfilled." So many things in Jesus' life he let happen because the scriptures had to be fulfilled, whether he liked it or not, because this is the day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He came to fulfill so many scriptures, to fulfill the law as well. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So it's for everyone. Today, it's for everyone. The Spirit. Acts chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 1. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Another prophecy that in a few days, these people that are following Jesus Christ at this time shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon them. You know that John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And it wasn't very many days hence. We think it was about 7 days. And then over in chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This would have been an amazing day, an amazing experience. These people, which were about 120, they experienced something nobody else had ever experienced before. These were the first people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues, to have this download of information, this of starting of that teaching of knowledge and doctrine in their heart. And of course, Peter stood up and he had that same download, and he could draw upon the scriptures that he'd grown up with. Peter would have grown up with the Old Testament and read them as well as he could. And then being filled with the Spirit, he had this amazing understanding, and he drew upon all of that. And then he stood up and explained about what was going on, this bizarre happening that nobody had ever heard of before. There were other followers, Jews, you know, those that followed the Old Testament law that were there in Jerusalem because it was the day of Pentecost. They'd all come from surrounding nations to worship. And so they knew about the Old Testament, and they saw this bizarre thing. So Peter stood up and explained it. And we'll go down to verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I was just thinking then, as I was reading that, that if Peter had an understanding of the Old Testament, he would have churned through it as best he could as a faithful Jew. And yet, in amongst that, when we refer to the Old Testament, how often do we refer to the book of Joel? But he knew this tiny little book of Joel, this amazing prophecy applied for this time. You know, that this was the time that that Joel was talking about. That this amazing place that people were placed in, where they could look to the future with great dreams and promises, and look to the future with great hope as well. But he drew upon this minor prophet called Joel to explain to the people around. Down in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. With many other words. You know, he was just built up himself, and he could draw upon all these other words to teach. And there were 3,000 people that were later saved that day, who all would have had that download of excitement and understanding of what's right and wrong, and that they're following God's ways and they're doing what God wants them to do. That would also have that that desire to learn so much, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And it's just amazing. I still think it's amazing that Peter had this incredible revelation that the pathway to salvation was to repent, be baptized, and pray for the Holy Spirit, and you'll then speak in tongues. He had that little capsule when they asked them when they asked him what they must do. He just said that. He didn't say you must sacrifice this and do this and burn this incense. He just said that, those things. Repent, get baptized, and pray for the Holy Spirit. And praise the Lord for that clarity, judgment unto truth. Okay, that's what we have. Over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, being the title of this talk, it's for everyone. Of course I'll go to Acts chapter 10. It's when the Holy Spirit was first poured out onto the Gentiles. Okay, so prior to this, it was only those that were of the chosen nation of Israel. But at this point, this is when the Gentiles started to come and follow Jesus Christ as an ensign to reach that that rest that's glorious. Acts chapter 10, just a little bit to introduce. So Peter had these bizarre visions that perplexed him, but put him in the right mindset that God wanted him to go and teach to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10 and starting verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius, who was the Gentile that called him, met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." You can imagine that. Peter would have been thoroughly embarrassed. "What are you doing? No, no, I'm a wretched man as well. It's God that's made me what I am. Stand up, please." In verse 27, it says, "And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, 'Ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent me." And so Peter was well prepared to go to this house of the Gentiles because God made him prepared. God had a plan. He had a plan to pour out of my spirit onto all people. And so Peter was an important vessel to execute this thing. And so he went to this house of the Gentiles, and then from here on, Cornelius explained, you know, what it was, the story behind it all, why he wanted Peter to come and expound the kingdom of God. And we go down to verse 34. "And Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" It's something we have to remember as well. "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." So God is not a respecter of any man. You know, he wants to call all people to the kingdom of God. And I'll just repeat verse 36. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." And that's what Peter was sent to do, to talk to this household of Gentiles. And so he did that. And down in verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God," talking about Jesus Christ, "to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." So Peter wasn't there alone. He took a couple of mates along with him, and these mates were also spirit-filled people, but they were of the nation of Israel. It says that they were of the circumcision. So they were also people who followed the old law, but through process of time, they received the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and they were wandering about with Peter. And so Peter came there with a group of people that were of the circumcision. And you can imagine the scenario. Peter's there, full of the Holy Ghost, you know, preaching about the kingdom of God to these Gentiles. And then all of a sudden, they watch these Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. And they'll be astonished. It says there, they were astonished because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. What? We didn't know this was part of the plan. You know, we didn't know that the Gentiles were to also receive the Holy Spirit. We thought it was just Israel and those that wanted to be part of the nation of Israel. But no, this is incredible. They are surprised. And this is why I firmly believe that this, in Acts chapter 10, is one of the instances where it clearly outlines how you know someone receives the Holy Spirit, because it's outlining how they could tell that the Gentiles also had the Holy Spirit, because it's remarkable. This was a remarkable instance where it was clear that the gift of the Holy Ghost was for everyone. And then it says here in verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And then observing this and being astonished with everyone else, Peter then stood up. It says, "Then answered Peter, 'Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." And you can understand why they wanted to stay. They wanted to learn more. They wanted to learn precept upon precept, line upon line. You know, they had the Spirit in their heart now. They could discern good and evil. They wanted to learn about doctrine and learn about the knowledge of the kingdom of God. And so, of course, they wanted Peter to stay longer. Teach me more. This is amazing. And so this was a phenomenal instance in history where it was clear that it was for everyone. And then, of course, Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and just down in chapter 11, verse 1, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard," you know, the ripple effect. Wow, the grapevine was pretty thin when this sort of thing happens. "Heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." In other words, they argued with him. They said, "Why'd you do that? You know, don't you know the writings in the old law? Why did you do this?" And then it says in verse 3, "Saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying," and he went through this explanation and explained the whole thing, as is the best. He had his own experience to tell. He's just outlining a sequence of events. And then in verse 15, it says here, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." So they were humbled, just like Peter was humbled. He was brought low so God could build him back up. In a way, I was just thinking, he was built up this, like in this way, with this knowledge, but the Lord needed him to come back down here so he could build him up unto this knowledge, this spiritual knowledge. And all the people that he explained to, the same, they were humble, thought, wow, how can you resist God? You know, God just did this. This was part of God's plan. How can you resist God? You know, I'll withdraw my attitude and my argumentativeness, because it's obviously God's ways that he wants everyone to be able to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and to speak in tongues and to be a part of the kingdom of God. Finish up on Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and this explains it very well. Galatians chapter 3, and start in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's for everyone. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are all worthy of this promise. You know, we are joint heirs. You know, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. We're all the same in God's eyes. You know, it's just the flesh. It's the carnal flesh that distinguishes between the two. But through the Spirit, we're the same. It's the same with all the other things, you know, whether you're bond or free, whether you're Jew or Greek, you know, whatever race you are, whatever language you speak, all those are very superficial differences when you're referring to the kingdom of God and the Spirit. The Spirit's the main bit. All the other bits, just a tiny little veneer over the top. It doesn't matter. You're all Christ's and all worthy of that same promise. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ if we have the Holy Spirit and we take part in that judgment unto truth. You know, we walk in spirit and in truth and we follow his ways, and there's just wonderful liberty, which is what he wants to give us. There's wonderful peace. There's wonderful reassurance that he is our Father and he has called us as an individual to be a part of his kingdom. Okay, thank you.